Good evening to everyone. It's good to see each one again. I've been wanting to come, and I just couldn't get here. My schedule has had me in such a way that at times I was so busy I wasn't even able to preach at all. I was staying home all the time, getting things done. But that's behind me now. At least 95% of it is. All right, I've got a subject on my heart that the Lord gave me several years ago now. It's a subject that we're all going to deal with somewhere down the line. And the congregation here is dealing with it right now, and the family's dealing with it because of what you're going through, what we've lost. And so the I'll take part of this problem. I'll take my earplugs out. That way I can make this thing work right better, hopefully. All right, now then, maybe that'll work. And I want to talk on a subject tonight of comfort. Not only does I want to have more trouble with it, I got to have help with it. Boy, you're a good young man. That's why we got you all young people around. Us older ones need you. We desire your prayers as we look into this subject. It's a subject dear to my heart. I have hit on it off and on in a lot of messages that I've preached. Because of what the Lord told me, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks after he told me he's going to take Rebecca, he said, grief is going to be a part of your ministry from here on out. And I have dealt with that. I've talked to people, I've sent cards, I've sent books, I've gone to funerals, I've preached funerals. I've done everything I could do within reason to help people that was in grief, because it's very painful. Grief is real, but everybody handles it differently. And what you do and what another does can be totally different, but it's still grief. And tonight, I have had something that the Lord has done for me that I don't know of very few people that it's actually happened to, but I know it's the truth. I know it's God. I know he can do it because I've experienced it. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I'm going to go through scriptures and end up with what I want to finish up with down in Luke and Psalms, Jeremiah. Now, do we believe that tonight? Do we really believe that Christ and God has the power to do something for you that nobody else can do? I can comfort you tonight. I've had people say, well, I tried to get a hold of you. I needed you. And maybe I was able to get there, maybe I wasn't. But the bottom line is tonight, the real comforter is God. And we'll get into that scripture in a little bit. But he is the total, absolute, complete, all, God of all comfort. Hit me one day when I was filling out some cards that the word all is total, complete, and absolute. And so I decided to start capitalizing it. And you get a card from me, that word's going to be capitalized, and there's a line going to be under several words there, because he is all. He is all to do anything of any way that you and I need him to do of comfort. He's able to do it. He's able to do it totally and completely. And that's what I want to get to tonight. There's a bottom line here that some people I think maybe miss but it is absolutely the Bible. It's absolutely my experience and others too. And so tonight we want to help us maybe to see that there is a God of all comfort that can heal you in any way you need. All right, let's go to 9 and 27 of Hebrews. It said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this a judgment. Death is something that we're all going to deal with. I know of a case, the only case I've ever run into, that somebody had committed suicide in the family, and they called some of the saints, ministers, saints in to help them. And the wife of this man that committed suicide, she told them, said, I have never been to a funeral in my whole life. And I said, are you kidding me? And they said, no, Brother Carl. We worked with them and worked with them. They had to plan the funeral totally all the way from start to finish. They had to preach it. They had to do the whole nine yards, so to speak, because this person knew nothing about a funeral. They'd never been in one. I have no idea how many I've been in. All the way, I can remember back when I was a child, I was going to funerals. So death is something that you and I are going to have to deal with. You may start younger than others, but the bottom line is you're going to hit grief somewhere down the line. You're going to deal with it somewhere down the line. And sometimes it's going to be extremely, extremely painful. It's going to shake you up one side down the other. You're going to get crying one minute and think I'm through, and it'll turn right around and start again. You can weep. You can sob. I've sobbed for 20 and 30 minutes straight out and never quit because of the grief, because of the pain that was ravaging through my body. Now, the hardest thing I'll have to admit I ever went through was the loss of my first wife. But my dad was hard on me. Lost mom, that was some hard on me. I lost my twin, that was hard on me. But tonight, God is a God of all comforts. And no matter what you lose, who you lose, how close you are to them or not, the bottom line is He knows how to help you. He can tell you. He can work with you. All right, Genesis 4 and 1. Genesis 4 and 1. Talking here about the Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the tiller of the sheep and Cain was the tiller of the ground. And it goes on down here and you know the story. The fact was that one killed the other. This was the first death that I know of in the Bible right here. One committed a heinous sin of killing the other one. And so consequently, the mother and the father had to deal with this. And I don't know how many other people was around at this time, but they had to deal with it. There was pain there. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 2 and 7. 2 Corinthians 2 and 7. I don't want to hold us too late tonight, but I want us to see of what all the Lord can do. This is not about any minister among us. This is not about any saint among us particularly. The bottom line is God. What He can do, how easily He can do it. He has shocked me and how He can touch a broken heart, how He can comfort it and do it so quickly that it's absolutely left me confounded. 2 Corinthians 2 and 7, it says, so that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch comfort, overmuch sorrow. All right, you know the deal here where that this man had done something wrong and he had been dealt with over it. And so then the minister here is letting them know, hey, you need to show your love to him. Don't leave him hanging out there. He's in trouble. And the more, listen, folks, that's the thing. You and I, in working with one another, now I'm going to lift up Christ as high as I can get him tonight, but the bottom line is you and I got a part in this thing too. We can send cards. We can send texts. We can make phone calls. We can invite him over to supper, whatever. There's things that we can do. And that's what he was telling him, that do it. That he's not swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. In other words, this thing can totally derail him, choke. Folks, that's what it can do. So let us step into the gate. When we need to see that somebody's in trouble, somebody's hurting, somebody's paining, and somebody said, well, I don't really know what to do. Well, I got news for you. Love shown is love appreciated. All right, 37 of Genesis and 33rd verse. Here it is where that... All right, 37, 31. Let's start there of Genesis. And they took Joseph's coat and they killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. They sent the coat of many colors that they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it. And he said, "It's my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes and put his sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave, into my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now he said here, he refused to be comforted. Now then, in watching cases and situations and hearing people talk down through the years, there's a situation we can get ourselves into that we don't seem to want any help. One person said, I built a box around me. I shut everybody out. I know of another case. They didn't tell me that's what they were doing, and I didn't totally understand maybe the depth of it, but I had the people in the Church of God coming to me and said, "Carl, what's wrong with this person?" I said, "I don't know." Well, the bottom was, she was refusing comfort. She didn't want to have anything to do with her husband's side that had died. She didn't want to have anything to our side to die. And the same way with this other person, they were shutting everybody out around them. Listen, I want to beg you tonight, if you're in grief, don't shut people out. Don't run them away. Don't turn on them. Say, "Help me," so to speak. Open yourself up and allow them to do what they feel the Lord would have them to do. We can all help one another, and we can all get blessing from one another if we can do it and work together. So don't shut people out. Another thing, there's a point. Brother Ed, give me some counsel in my grief. He said, "Carl, there's a point of you going to the cemetery that it's really not going to do you much good anymore." And I listened to what he said. I said, "All right." And from January to May, matter of fact, it was this camp meeting right here at Guthrie, I had spent up to 45 minutes to an hour. One of my comforters made the statement, they said, "Carl, you can only stand it about 45 minutes. That's about all you can handle." Well, I found out they were right. I was just going all to pieces for a while. But it got a little easier, and it got a little easier, and it got a little easier. And finally, I got to the point where the cemetery was not really doing me any good. But I've known of people that have gone to the cemetery over and over, sometimes every day. They go, that's, I know for a fact, I'm not just guessing that. I had a man on the, that was a customer of mine when I had my service station, and I was here, cemetery down here, he lived up here, and he'd go by my station, go down there where his wife was, and he would grieve and mourn for a while, then he would come back and see me, and then he'd go back to the house. Or vice versa, he might stop in and see me first, and then go down there and go back to the house. That's not healthy. After a point, going to the cemetery over and over, I believe, is not healthy for individuals. The Lord helped me. Like I said, I got to a point, I could see it was not doing me any good, so I pull back. I still take flowers. I go by there occasionally. Wife's been with me down through there a time or two. I've been involved in funerals. I'm looking down to where she was. The twins were. But the bottom line is, Lord, help us to not over push a thing. Let the Lord comfort us. Let him work with us. All right, let's go to Luke 7:11. Here is a case that I love. This scripture's right in here. Where Jesus and the widow now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. No, that's not the scripture I want. I want the 11th verse of that chapter, 7:11 of Luke. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. Much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Weep not." And he came and he touched the briar. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came great fear on all. And they glorified God, saying, "This, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. This got their attention. This got their attention. But this woman was in trouble. She had lost her husband. She was a widow. Her son was gone. There wasn't no Social Security back then. There wasn't things like that to help her. And could you imagine what she was thinking, what she was going through? How am I going to pay my bills? What am I going to do? And so forth. But the Lord came along and he had compassion. Listen, the God that I know and the Christ that I know and the Holy Spirit that I know is individuals of great compassion. Great compassion. When you're at the greatest distress, their compassion is for you. Their compassion is to help you and to bless you, to encourage you, to lift you, to do things that you cannot visualize, really, that he can do it. There was times for a while, the day at 1:15 that she died, I didn't even want that time to show up. And you know, the Lord sometimes would have somebody call me about that time and talk with me all the way through. And then I'd be over it and go on my way, do my thing. I was working part-time. I was working in those times. The Lord done that. He had compassion. Let the Lord's compassion work for you. Let the Lord's help. One night I was suffering. I was in such agony. And I literally raised my arms up and looked straight up. And I said, "Oh God, can you have mercy on me? Can you help me?" And about 2 minutes, the phone rang, and the man on the other end knew somewhat of what I was going through, and he started helping me. Oh, tonight, I didn't ask him to call, but I did ask Jesus Christ to help me, to have some compassion on me. Listen tonight, this Jesus has compassion way beyond and far above anybody you can ever meet. Lean on him. Call on him, beg him, plead for him. "Lord, help me, have mercy on me. I need you." And he's done these things for not me only, but others over and over and over down through the years. He has lifted them and blessed them and done things that left us with our mouths open, so to speak. Compassion. Oh, and he healed that young man and raised him up. And he that was dead sat up, began to speak. He delivered him to his mother. There came great fear on all. They glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us and that God has visited his people. All right, let's go to the next. What would be one of the next great things Christ has done? Let's go to John 11. John 11, the 19th verse. John 11 and 19. This is concerning Lazarus, the death of his friend. You know, this had to touch Christ deeply. This was a friend. He had been in their home. He had worked with them. He had done things and so forth. And now then he was dead. Some people said, "Well, if you just showed up, my brother wouldn't have died." Well, the bottom line was Christ wanted to show a power of the resurrection and the power of the glory that he had to help people. And he wanted to do that so they could see something they wouldn't see otherwise. In the 19th verse here, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know," now listen to what she's saying, "I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." And Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." I don't want to go to 31 verse here. And the Jews, but the Jews in which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now here he's being told the same thing by both sisters. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, said to the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. This is the shortest, most powerful scripture just about in the whole Bible. This shows a love and a compassion that Christ had. This shows that he was human as well as divine. This showed that he could do things. In other words, he wasn't just up here on a plane that couldn't be touched. He'd already proved it once. But I don't know if these people knew what he'd done for that other widow or not. I don't know that. But the bottom line is, Jesus right here, he looked it all over and he wept. He wept. Do you think Jesus is weeping today, son? Yes, he's weeping today. He's weeping because you're hurting. He's weeping because he's looking on you and said, this is my child and he's hurting. And he's sitting on the right hand of God. He's sitting there on the throne of mercy and grace and power and healing. He's sitting there and he can do anything that he wants to do. And he will do it, praise God. He can raise people from the dead. He can save, sanctify. He can resurrect those dead old sinners that's down there in the quagmires of sin. He can raise them up and out, set their feet on a solid rock, establish their going, put a new song in their mouth, and even praise be unto God. Many shall see it, fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Now then, he can do that. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how I loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind, as his reputation is already going around, have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again groaning himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he'd been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now, folks, we need to do some believing. We need to have some faith that Christ can do what I'm preaching tonight. That he can work in a way that'll absolutely do things for you that nothing else can do. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because the people which stand by said I said it, that they may believe that thou sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they believed on him. I'm going to tell you, the things that Jesus does brings about results in more ways than one. So now he's raised 2 people from the dead. You believe he's got the power? He has saved you. He has sanctified you. And you've got a broken heart. Do you think he can heal that heart and take away all that pain? Do you really believe that? And I'm not talking 3 days down the road. I mean 3 years down the road. I'm talking about instantly. Do you really believe that he can do this? That's why I'm here tonight. That's why I'm here. Let's look at Hebrews 4 and 15. Hebrews 4 and 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now then, the second verse, the second chapter here. Yeah, we're getting the right place to read right. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted, or come to their cry and their rescue immediately. Come to them immediately. So he is able. We have somebody that is touched, with our infirmities, our pain. He is touched with that. And he will work with us and help us and do things for us. That's, well, like I said, I've had people tell me stories of what the Lord done in their grief. And you can sit back basically with their mouths open. But the bottom line is, he can do it. All right, 2 Corinthians 1:6. No, I want 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I don't want you to ever forget this word all. Who comforted us in all our tribulation. All. Again, all. Our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now then, he said here, who comforted us in all our tribulation. And then on up in here, it said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, blessed be God. Now here, Paul is writing, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now then, do you think Paul would be somebody that could write something like this? What did Paul go through? He didn't have no uneventful life. He went through things that probably none of the rest of them went through. At least it's not recorded. What Paul went through is not recorded that Matthew and Mark and Luke and all them, they went through it. No, maybe they did, but it's not written down. But Paul went through some very, very hard things. He went through some hard trials and tribulation. He went through things that was very devastating. But God helped him, worked with him, touched him, done everything he needed him to do. And then Paul was able to turn around and help the others around him. That's what the Lord's wanting to do with you and me. He's wanting to allow us to go through these things, and he's wanting to prove his power and his grace. He's wanting to prove his comfort to us, whereby that we can turn around and help those around us. That's what he's wanting to do. For us, all. I don't know any other way to say this, but just flat say it. When Dale and Lisa's daughter died, and I went over there on Mother's Day. I'd already had a plane ticket. I scheduled to go to the East for a meeting. And I couldn't hardly be here for the funeral. So I called them and I said, I want to be with you. Can I do it this time? Sure, Uncle Carl, come on. So I did. But that type of death is different than any other death that there is. Amen. It is different. And consequently, I couldn't feel the pain that they were feeling, in a sense. I stayed there a while. I prayed with them. I cried with them. And then they had other people coming in. I thought, Carl, you've been here long enough. It's time for you to exit. Go and let them be with some others. And I did. And when I come to the door, there was a certain brother by the name of Steve Gillenbeck. And he looked at me and he said, you think I ought to be here? I said, yes, sir, you do. You understand what I don't and others don't. And I don't know what happened. I was gone out of there. But the bottom line was, he understood, because it was a different type of situation to be dealt with. And he had the understanding, the pain he had gone through and the anguish that he had gone through. He knew some things. And I suppose he went in there, and I've never even talked to him about it. I'd say he was a good blessing to them. Oh, today, we're going to have to go through some things, folks, to be able to help people. I don't want to do that, Brother Carl, but if you want to be a comforter, if you want to be somebody that can do things to help people in trials and tribulations, your experience is what's going to get you to stand in the bucket with them and say, I understand that. Amen. I understand it. I know the pain that you're going through. 1987, when I was so sick, I went through it for weeks and weeks, and people said, I can't understand, Carl, why the Lord's putting you through what he's putting you at such a young age. Well, I don't know. I just knew that I was very sick and I could have died. But the Lord didn't allow that. Well, somebody wrote me a letter and told me, you're going to be a pastor. And I wrote him back and said, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm an evangelist. And I'm not going to be a pastor of the Guthrie congregation. Yeah, you are too. I'm telling you things tonight, probably most of you don't even know. So I got through the sickness and I come home. When I got home, I was well enough the Lord could start dealing with me. But that sickness, Brother Clifford Wilson told me, when he come over there with his second wife, and he come over there, him, Brother Salmon's working as a team with me to help me and to comfort me and to heal me or to help me in my sickness. And Brother Clifford told me, he said, this whole experience is going to be like a deal of pictures. And he said, you're going to be going through a battle. No, said somebody else is going to be going through something, and you're going to pull this particular square up and you're going to look at it and say, I know exactly what you're suffering. And you know, I've used that thing over and over and over. Many, many, many times I have looked in those boxes and I said, I remember that pain. I remember that anguish. I remember that. I remember the time I made the statement that I am so sick I want to die. That wasn't the thing to say to a young wife that just had a new baby. That was not the thing to open your mouth about. But I did it anyway because I was so sick. I just didn't really want to live much longer. But the Lord had something for me. And I was able to come back. And I've used that for many, many, many years. That'd be 30, 35 years or so. And I've used it. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to take you through things and help you in things that you can use that experience to be a blessing to others. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 7 and 4. 2 Corinthians 7 and 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, with outward fightings and within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Now this is what I'm talking about. Again, this links right back into what I'm saying. Titus coming was a great blessing here to Paul, to help him, to encourage him and so forth. Do you really think that just the walking up of a saint can be an encouragement? It can, can't it? I read books back there, Brother Warner and some of them. that some of the saints would just show up, and it was just a great blessing to those that were already there. Now, we're not anything, but the bottom line is we are all born of the same blood and the same power and the same glory. And those of us that's got that same spirit, all of us that have it, that same spirit, that spirit is a kindred spirit, and you know it when they walk up there. And you know this person is here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. They are here. Thank the Lord. All right, let's go to Isaiah 51 and 1. We're wrapping it on down. Just be Isaiah 51 and 1. God of all comfort, hearken to me, ye that fall after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he shall make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For the law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Now he said, the Lord shall comfort Zion. You and I are one person. But God can do. He can work when there is something that happens. Oh, Lord, help me here. All right, when we lost Brother Philip, I don't know about you all, but it was so shocked to me that when I got the text that he was gone, I literally go, no. Brother Philip can't be gone. There's no way. Can't happen. There's probably others over here and over there that were saying the same thing outside the family I'm talking about. I know they were in shock. But those, the rest of us, we were suffering that too. And he can work all around with every one of us. I was hundreds of miles away from home in a motel that night. And so the Lord can do that. The Lord can comfort, shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like an Eden. And I think this part of it is talking about salvation and so forth. But I believe it can be applied into this situation where God can comfort people that are in grief and in travail and all of that. When I say travail, tribulation and all of those things, and the pain that we're going through, he can come down no matter where we're at, and he can work with us. He can work with us. He can help us. All right. Let's go to Luke 4 and 18. Luke 4 and 18. Let's try to bring it on down here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and all eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered, I like this right here, at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. And whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Now it said here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now if there has ever been a preacher that was anointed, it was Christ. He had a powerful anointing that hundreds, maybe even thousands followed him. Followed him listening to everything. He could be out in a boat, and here they are along the shore. He could be over here and there when he fed the 5,000 plus the men and women and so forth. That's five. That was probably 10,000 plus right there. And what were they doing? They were following him. And most, or some of them at least, wasn't following him just for the loaves and the fishes. They were following him for what he was telling them. What he could do for them. How he could help them. He said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to heal. All right, here's my scripture right here. I preached all this long to get down to this one scripture. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted tonight? Have you got tough places that you're going through? I heard this could happen. And I knew at a point that I was going to put in for it, but I was going to wait at least past the year point to ask for what I'm fixing to tell you. Somebody told me, said Carl, said that one of their relatives had told them when they had lost a child, said what you need to do is you need to heal from the inside out and not the outside in. You need to heal. And so they got to praying. When they would get to suffering a lot, they would pray, Lord, send me fresh comfort. They said, Carl, you need to do that. And I listened to what they said and said, no, I don't want to. And you know why I didn't want to? Because I want to know the pain you're going through. When God told me that grief was going to be a part of my ministry from here to the end of my life, I wanted to be in the climbing your bucket with you, so to speak, as Doug would say, and I want to get in there and be able to help you. So I wouldn't do that. But I did know of at least two different times other than mine where two sisters, one of them, her husband had died in the fall. She was just brokenhearted, cried. She got down to the Monarch meeting and she was walking, going somewhere early in the morning. And she was just, again, she was under the weight of grief. And she said, Lord, can't you help me with this? Can't you do something? The Lord said, if you go back to your cabin and get on your knees, I'll help you. And she went back and got to praying, and the Lord touched her just like that and took all of that pain. He healed that heart. He come to heal the brokenhearted. Listen, folks, tonight, I don't know of any more. Another one told me that basically from the very beginning that their husband died, she said, Carl, the Lord done a work in me that I hardly even grieved at all. And they had a good marriage. I've been in their homes quite a few times. I've eaten off their tables. I've slept in their beds. I've been with them. I've enjoyed the company. I've preached in the congregations or the congregation. And she said, I hardly grieved at all. Right there. On the 25th day of December of 2013, I was grieving. I was down, and what the deal was, we was having ordinance service, if I remember right. We was having ordinance service, and I don't know, something was said in that service that just got the tears to flowing. And what it was, is I thought, Rebecca has given her life for the gospel. And she wasn't me, and she's not another minister, but she got in there and worked with me. And she gave her life. She done, she went, she sacrificed, her and the girl both, to do the things that needed to be done. And she was gone. And the brother Michael Smith, I don't remember where he was at in his chapel, but I felt this arm go around me. I was right there in the corner of that third seat where I sat, third seat. And his arm went around me and I looked and there was brother Michael Smith. It was right in there. As best I can figure is when he healed me. Everything changed. I went home after that meeting. Well, even during the meeting, things were different. It was not the same as it had been. I went home and I was light. I was happier. It was different. I wasn't crying. I wasn't under a weight and so forth. And I was meditating about 2 weeks later, sitting in my chair. And it dawned on me what he had done. I thought, Lord, you have healed me of a broken heart. Healed me. It was different after that. Been different all the way through till now. And so consequently, I know for a fact that the Lord can literally take those hearts of yours that is broken, shattered, and damaged, and he can heal them, and he can heal them instantly. He can take off. Well, I don't want to do that, Brother Carl. I want to cry over this person or that person. The bottom line was, one of my comforters told me one time, said, Carl, said, would you want Rebecca crying over you like you're crying over her? I thought, yes. He said, no, you would not. You know the pain you're suffering. You wouldn't want her to do that with you. Said, why are you doing it, so to speak? The Lord help me. I went through all my schooling, so to speak, like I felt like I needed to. And I was going to ask him after the 1 year point, I want you to heal my broken heart. I knew of it and I was going to put in for it. He done it before I asked. He can heal your heart. He can heal your heart in such a way that there'll be some loneliness, there will be some missing of them and so forth. But the hard, grieving heart, that grieving heart that's just shattered and broken, is healed. I know, because I've been there and done that. Heal the broken heart. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to heal them. Romans 147:3 said he heals the broken in heart and bindeth up the wounds. I think that scripture says he heals. Oh, tonight, saints, I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. I'm just trying to preach you what he can do. That's my burden tonight. Let you know what he can do. I know you're hurting. I know it's a hard place. You've lost 3 ministers in a certain period of time. I know that. But the Lord is the Lord of healing. He can heal the body and he can heal that broken heart. He can take all that pain away instantly. Like I said, I didn't realize what had happened till I was sitting in my rocking chair, my reclining chair, and I'm sitting there and I was meditating and I guess praying. Well, I was praying and meditating and it just lit up in my mind, Carl, that's what happened to you. The Lord healed your heart. The Lord heals the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Oh, tonight, if you need some help, the Lord can help you. He can do anything we need him to do. I preached all kind of messages. I'm not bragging when I say this. But you know the type of message I really like to preach, Sister Clay? Is what he can do. The power that he's got. How he can resurrect a dead soul and bring them up and set their feet on a solid rock and change their life completely. There ain't nobody can do that but Christ. And he shed his blood. Well, he shed his blood to do this too. This is part of it. Oh, tonight, if you need a touch, a healing touch, the Lord wants to heal. I appreciate your time and attention. I'm praying for people here. It's painful, but the Lord's going to get us through again. He'd done it every time. He's a big God. He told Peter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He's a stone right there. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because he's bigger than anything else. I desire your prayers tonight that the Lord will help me as I go along life's way. Appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers. May the Lord comfort each one and bless each one.